Today she is Masech Techulun Daf Kuf Dalad. We will begin Daf Kuf Gimel Amud Beis. At the Mishnah, as we begin Beis, or Hashem Yisbarach, the new perek of Kol HaBosor. This perek discusses the halacha, which we all know, the Torah Kedusha says, L'Sivash Gedi B'Chalev Imoy, that one may not cook meat and milk together. The Torah says this pasuk of Osulavash Gedi B'Chalev Imoy three times, and we learned from the fact that the Torah says it three times that there's an Isser Achila, we may not eat a combination of meat and milk. There's an Isser Bishel, we're not allowed to cook meat and milk together. And Osulavash, we're not allowed to have Hano, benefit from Bas B'Chalev. The Torah, when it speaks about Bas B'Chalev, as we just indicated, always uses the word Loisavashel. You're not allowed to cook, but we just said we're also not allowed to eat, we're not allowed to benefit. And the answer is Midaraisa, the Isser of Bas B'Chalev is only applicable on the case where meat and milk were cooked together. If in other cases, as we know, and we will learn in Mitzvah Shem, it's also to have any mixture of meat and milk. But the Isser that the Torah discusses is when they cook together. So begins the Mishnah Kol HaBosor, any meat, presumably when we learned the Mishnah before we get into the Gemara, means meat of a behema, meat of a chay, meat of a oif, also lavash of a cholov, one may not cook in milk. Even though, as I just said, the halacha is not just the cooking, but the eating. The Torah, the Mishnah focuses on the word bishul because that's the word that the Torah used. Moreover, since later in the Mishnah we're going to speak about putting meat and milk on the same table, and the reason, of course, meat and milk cannot be put on the same table because chas v'sholem, one may come to eat that meat and milk. Our Mishnah is, that's why the Mishnah used the word aslavashel, because here we're focusing on the cooking part. The eating part will be discussed later in the Mishnah. Chutz mebas v'dagim v'chavim, this halacha does not apply by fish and grasshopper. They may be cooked and eaten together with milk. Aslahalis, now we have another halacha that our Mishnah discusses. The Mishnah began with Oslavash Kolabosar, you're not allowed to put these things, you're not allowed to cook to them. And now the Mishnah says you're not allowed to put them on the, you're not allowed to put cheese on the table. And of course the question is, what if the issue is mixing dairy and milk, why is the Mishnah beginning with speaking about cheese and not about milk? And the answer is that typically milk is poured. It's a liquid. And cheese is a solid. So you're going to separate the cheese from the, you're going to be separating the milk from the meat because they just don't mix together. But cheese, which is a solid, there's much more of a concern of mixing it up with the meat. And that's why the Aruch HaShulchan spoke specifically about cheese and not about milk. On the other hand, there are some that say, the Tveres Yaakov that says just the opposite. He says that by milk, there's a concern that that milk may get poured onto the meat. And when the milk pours onto the meat, so now we have a concern of Bas B'Chalev. However, cheese doesn't pour onto milk. And since cheese doesn't pour onto milk, one would assume that there's no problem of having cheese and meat on the table. They're going to be kept separately. Teaches us the Mishnah that even cheese may not be on the same table as meat. Another explanation, we've spoken already, but we're going to speak again about when is there a concern about a sakana with milk and dairy, with meat and dairy, with milk and with meat, with milk and fish. So it tells us the Mishnah that the issue applies even by cheese. There is no Isser to put them on the same table, but the Isser of a concern remains even by cheese. Asr lahalas im gvina al shulchan, chutz mibas dagim v'chagovim, you could have fish and cheese, even if even if you'll hold that you can't eat them together, but the halacha is there is no iser of keeping them, even if you can't eat them together because of a sakana, there is no iser of having them on one table. Hanoidim and abasar, continues the Mishnah, if somebody made a nether, koinam basar alai, I won't eat meat, then the halacha is that it's not just behemoth that he may not eat, he may not eat chaya meat, he may not eat oif meat, because all of them are called basar in the way people speak. And as we learned and we're going to learn, when we speak about nedarim, we follow the way people speak. And in people's wording, they when they say basar, they mean basar chai, behemoth chai v'oif, but they do not mean basar dogim v'chagovim. So our Mishnah just taught us the well-known halacha that we're not allowed to have milk, dairy, and meat on the same table, because chas v'shalom, one may come to eat them together. Says the Ran that this halacha was only enacted by basar v'chalav, because people are accustomed to eat both dairy and meat, and Chazal were concerned that somebody may come to eat them together if they were on the same table. Chazal, however, says the Ran, did not say one may not eat at the same table with a non-Jew who's eating pork, because a pork is something that bottle minay. People stay away from pork, and therefore, just because there's pork on the table, we're not concerned that somebody's going to come to eat it. The Shulchan Aruch, quoting the Tshuva Rashbam, says that, however, on Pesach, one may not sit at the same table on Pesach with a non-Jew who's eating chametz. Ask the Shach if we just learned that you could sit at the same table where pork is being eaten by a non-Jew, why is chametz on Pesach any different? Answers the Shach that you can't compare pork to bread. Bread, we know the Torah Kedoshah said, al alechem yichya adam, bread is considered a staple of our diet, and therefore, if there's bread on the table, there's a real concern that chas v'shalom, you may come to eat that bread. But nobody, says the Shach, is going to make that mistake with pork. Another explanation the Yad Yehuda gives is that pork we never eat. And therefore, Chazal weren't concerned that in a certain, whatever circumstance, you're going to come to eat pork. However, bread is something, chametz is something that we eat all year round. Since it's something that we eat all year round, there is much greater of a concern that we may come to eat the bread on Pesach. Says the pre-Toyer, one would not therefore be allowed to sit at the same table with a piece of non-kosher meat. Explains the pre-Toyer, since non-kosher meat looks the same as kosher meat, and it's not like pork, that we, of course, know to stay away from pork. Therefore, when it comes to non-kosher meat, which is not identifiable so easily as non-kosher, we're not allowed to eat them together. The Pasuk says that when the Malachim came to Yaakov in Avikachem v'chelav, and the Shita Mekubetzes quotes Yerushalmi, that from here it seems that the Malachim ate basar b'chalav. And in fact, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to give the Torah to Klal Yisrael, and we know the Malachim were upset that the Torah was given to Klal Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told them that you don't deserve, so to speak, to get the Torah, because you violated and you ate basar b'chalav. Ask the Stipler in his Sefer Birkas Peretz, the Isser of basar b'chalav is only when they're cooked together, as we said in our introductory remarks. And that basar b'chalav wasn't cooked together. So he answers, the Stipler, that the malachim are fire. So when they were given basar b'chalav, they were cooking together the basar b'chalav through a fire, which is what they are made of. But if that's the case, asks Rav Chaim Kanievsky, so then the Medrash shouldn't say that Kadosh Baruch Hu issue was them is that they ochlu, that they ate basar b'chalav. What should have been said was that they cooked basar b'chalav. So he answers something that Rechaim Knievsky answers, something that we spoke about at the beginning of the shiur, that the Torah used the word bishul three times, even though the Torah used the halacha of bishul, it's really all about achila. Just the Torah was said that this bishul is so usur that the bishul is not allowed to be done in that. The iser achila even includes an iser bishul. The chishuk echemet, as we learned just now, the main issue of the way the Torah expresses the iser of bas b'chalav is the Torah uses the words lo savashal. So he poses a question: if, let's say, the main heating of a building is ruined, is broken, and somebody has to come and fix it, and there are people that have on their ovens pots that have bas b'chalav, and we, as we just learned, are not allowed to cook bas b'chalav. So if by me fixing that boiler or whatever, and the moment I fix it, all the pots that have in them bas b'chalav will be cooked now, is that considered a violation of cooking bas b'chalav? And I really saw that he quotes that it's a machlokes of Shlomo Zalman and Reb Chaim Knievsky. He says that even though we're learning, as we're saying, that the Torah is very strict about cooking meat and milk together, he explains, according to Shlomo Zalman, the act of repairing an oven is not an act of cooking. Yes, one is not allowed to cook bas b'chalav, even if you're not eating it, as we just learned, but it has to be an act of cooking. This is not an act of cooking. And therefore, he suggests, according to Shlomo Zalman, it would not be usur. However, he does say that it was the opinion of Rav Chaim Knievsky that because bas b'chalav, the Torah is so strict, and this allows cooking a bas b'chalav under any circumstances, this is included in the circumstances that the Torah would say is usur. Begins the Gemara. The Mishnah began that kol ha-basar, so presumably what the Mishnah means is meat. Says the Gemara, ha-oif, what about poultry? Asam ha-deraisa, it would mean that since it says kol ha-basar, and kol ha-basar presumably means any type of meat, so that would include, it says the Gemara, poultry. Command, says the Gemara, whose opinion does this follow that even Basar Oif is Usr because of Basar B'chalav? Like Rabbi Kiva, doesn't follow the opinion of Rabbi Kiva. Dear Rabbi Kiva, we want to look at the opinion of Rabbi Kiva. Omar, Rabbi Kiva says, Chai V'Oif, Rabbi Kiva's opinion is that Chai meat and Oif meat, Eina Min HaTorah, is not Usr Midaraisa. So the Gemara's question is, our Mishnah presumably speaks about all types of meat, because the Mishnah used the word kol, which means oif and chaya as well. And Rav Kiva says oif and chaya, not also with the raisa. Eim sefer, but continues the Gemara. Let's continue learning the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, "Anoydim and abasar." If somebody made in there that he won't eat basar, mutav basar dogim v'chagovim, he's allowed to eat fish and grasshopper meat. Oif asar. It seems that bird meat would be asar. Asan. Rav Kiva, whose opinion does that represent? That represents the opinion of Rav Kiva, because Rav Kiva's opinion is, kol midi d'mem l'chalei shliach, anything that if I ask somebody to buy for me, and if I ask somebody to go buy meat for me, and he doesn't find meat, but he'll find poultry, or he'll find chaya meat. So he's going to ask me, well, I couldn't find behema meat, but I was able to find chayim, I was able to find one of these other types of poultry or chayim meat, is that going to satisfy you? But if he went to the store and the only thing he found in the store was fish, and I asked him to buy behema, he wouldn't even call me, because behema meat, fish and chagovim are not in that family. who is the one that takes that approach? We look at what people will ask to make this decision. That's the opinion of Rabbi Akiva. So ask the Gemara, our Mishnah, the beginning of the Mishnah, is not consistent with the opinion of Rabbi Akiva. And the second part of the Mishnah is consistent with Rabbi Akiva's opinion. And the Gemara explains this halacha that we just learned. The Tanan, the Mishnah, Masechta, and the Dorim teaches us, Hanoidim and a Yerek, if somebody makes a nether that he won't have any benefit from vegetables, Mutta bedaluim. There, he's allowed to have cucumbers. Because in those days, people did not view cucumbers, or maybe it's a pumpkin, they didn't view it as a vegetable. It doesn't have leaves. And in their mind, only something that has leaves is considered a vegetable. Rabbi Akiva says they are included in that family. Amalei Rabbi Akiva. So they asked Rabbi Akiva, how could you say that they are included in the Yerek family? If I ask somebody to buy Yerek on my behalf, for who, and he doesn't find anything besides the Luim, he won't buy it. Omer, what he's going to do is come back to me who asked him to buy the Yerek and tell me, I only found the Luim. So you see that it's not in the Yerek family. So Akiva says, exactly. But the point that you just made, says Akiva, is the proof that I am right. Because he says as follows, Klum, I'm Sosel Kitnius. What would be if he went to the store and he only found beans? So he wouldn't even call me, he wouldn't ask me, because beans are not vegetables. Ella, the Luim Bekla Yerek. The Luim might not be perfect Yerek, but they are the Yerek family. And that's why if you can't find Yerek, he'll ask me about the Luim. However, ain't Kitnius Bekla Yerek. Kitnius is not in the Yerek family altogether, and therefore he wouldn't ask me. The point being, if it's something that he will ask me, it's already enough of a proof that that's in the same family. And that's why Rabbi Akiva holds that when you said Noidim and Abasar, it will include Oif and Chaya, but it won't include, because that's something that somebody will ask, well, I can't find Basar, I can find Oif and Chaya, they won't ask me about Dogim and Chagovim. So that's exactly the opinion of Rabbi Akiva. So now ask the Gemara, the Reisha that said that Kol HaBasar includes Oifis and Chayis, represents the opinion of Rabbi Akiva, of the Rabbanon, not Rabbi Akiva. And the Sefer, asked the Gemara, represents the opinion of Rabbi Akiva. How do we understand this Mishnah? Answers the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Hi. The author of this Mishnah is actually Rebbe. And Rebbe picked and chose whose opinion he follows in different shilas. Nedarim, when it comes to the question of Nedarim, as we just finished explaining, there, Savalek Rebbe Kiva, he follows Rebbe Kiva's opinion. When he speaks about Bas B'cholov, there, Savalek Rabbanim fills the opinion of the Rabbanim. Ravashi says, Kul Rebbe Kiva, the Reisha is also following the opinion of Rabbi Akiva. From the Reisha, it seems that the Isra Bas B'cholav applies even by Oif and Chaya, says the Maharal Kama. This is the way to understand the Mishnah. Kol HaBasar, whether Bas Behema, Bas Chaya, Bas Oif, Osir Vash B'cholav, you're not allowed to cook any of them together with milk. However, Mehen, in certain circumstances, that Isra is Medivrei Torah, it's an Isra D'Raisa, with Mehen, and in certain circumstances, it's Medivrei Seifim, it's Drabonim. Continues the Mishnah to teach us, Chutz mi Basa Dogim v'chagovim, aside when we speak about Basa Dogim v'chagovim, that there's no Issa, ain loim Medivrei Torah, loim Medivrei Seifim, and l'chatchilu, you could cook them together with milk. We learned further, Vos l'halus, we can't put dairy products and meat products on the same table, Chutz mi Basa Dogim v'chagovim. So says the Gemara, Amar Rav Yosef, so it seems that Shema Minah, from here it seems that we could clearly see that our Mishnah is of the opinion that Basa Oif B'cholav is the Raisa. The Basa Oif B'cholav is the Raisa. Because, says the Gemara, if the entire of Isser of eating Oif and B'cholav together is only the Rabbanon, so says the Gemara, the whole Issa Achila according to this understanding, Issa Chilagufa's Gzeira. Really, the Torah did not prohibit oif and cholov. Chazal said that we're not allowed to mix oif and cholov, for Chazal were concerned that if we're going to come to mix oif and cholov, we may come to mix meat and cholov. So that's a gzeira that even if we were to mix oif and cholov, it's only masud rabbanon. So now ask the Gemara, nan nigza halah oto achilav. This would be a category of, as the Gemara is going to explain now, that we don't make gzeira l'gzeira. And here, this would be a perfect example of a gzeira l'gzeira, of a double gzeira, and that's why the Gemara is troubled that halachically is not something we normally find. And in fact, the Gemara proves its point. Umanot temra, from where do we indeed learn the loy gazrin gzeira l'gzeira, that we don't make a double gzeira, the Tanan. The Mishnah teaches him sech t'chala, chalas chutzlarts. Midaraisa, the mitzvah of chala only applies in Eretz Yisrael, because it applies to something that grows from the ground, so becomes a mitzvah tluya be'aretz, and only applies in Eretz Yisrael. However, Chazal instituted that when one makes a dough in chutzlarts, there's still a chiv to take off chala. The reason Chazal made this gzeira is k'deish lo tishtakach taras chala Yisrael. They didn't want that we should forget that there's such a loch of chala. So the Mishnah Masechta Chala teaches us chalas chutzlarts, the chala in chutzlarts, which is only, as we just said, a gzeira. The chalas amazor al shulchan. Of course, azor is not allowed to eat chala. A chala is in the same category of truma, which we know a zor is not allowed to eat truma. If a zor eats truma, there's a chiv misa b'dei shemayim. So here, the halacha is that you could have chala on the same table as Yisrael is sitting. V'niten es l'kol kohen sheyirtzo. The halacha is that normally we only give chala to a kohen who's a chaver, because as we just explained, that the chala, the many halachas apply to this kind of food, and most importantly, we have to make sure that it doesn't become tameh. And therefore, as the pasuk says, there's an interesting pasuk in Divrei Yomim. The pasuk says, "Losis manas manas l'kahanim alvim l'mahan yechzku b'darsh Hashem," and the Gemara explains that only people who are yechzku b'darsh Hashem, people who are scrupulous in their behavior, do we give challah to. Somebody, a kohen, who's not scrupulous, we're concerned we do not treat the challah as the halacha requires it. And the halacha, the Mishnah, is teaching us that even though challah in Eretz Yisrael may only be given to that type of a kohen, Rashi says, this is the way Rashi learns and the Rambam learns, that l'chatchila chals chutz l'aretz may be given to a kohen who's on my arts. Tosfos says that it's not l'chatchila that we're allowed to give chalas chutzlarz to a kohen on my arts. However, there's a very big difference. He says the way to understand the difference between chalas Eretz Yisrael and chalas chutzlarz is, let's say somebody has chala, and in Eretz Yisrael, the only kohen that's available to give that chala to is an am arts. So he says, in Eretz Yisrael, we would not be allowed to give that challah to the kohen who's an amoritz, even at the price that it means keeping the challah at home, and there's a real concern that one may come to eat that, one may come to use that challah, make a tamei, etc. Still, because it's challah's chutzlarets, Chazal will makbid never give it to an amoritz. And Eretz Yisrael, in chutzlarets, says Tosfos, that the Gemara means to say, that if you have no one else available besides an amaret, the halacha will allow you to give that challah to the kohen that's an amaret. But that's the difference, says the Gemara, between chalas Eretz Yisrael and chalas chutz l'aretz. So what do we see from here? That Chazal was stricter by chalas Eretz Yisrael than by chalas chutz l'aretz. Why? Because as we explained, the whole chalas chutz l'aretz is only Midrabanan, when something is only Midrabanan, Chazal were not that strict. Of course, Tosfos asks this question. So that's the proof that we don't make Gzeira L'Gzeira. Of course, Tosfos asks the question that there are many places in Shas that we do make Gzeira L'Gzeira, that and the Gemara says, we don't make Gzeira L'Gzeira, and the Gemara says, Kulachad Gzeira. So Tosfos finds it interesting that here we don't. And therefore, Tosfos says, it really is up to Chazal to determine when it's one Gzeira or two Gzeiras. I did see that Ritva explains that what the Gemara here actually means to say is that the Gemara is trying to say that achila, eating them together, and cooking them together are two completely separate issues. And since the two separate issues, even if we'll say chad gzeira, when they're two totally different issues, we don't use the concept of kul chad gzeiras. The source that we don't make gzeira l'gzeira, because the source that Chazal make gzeiras is based on the pasuk, the of v'shmartem es mishmartem, mishmarti, asu mishmeres l'mishmarti, which means the Torah charges the Kohana, charges Chazal to make gzeiras, but the pasuk says asu mishmeres l'mishmarti, make gzeira to protect my daraisa, but don't make gzeira to protect Zeres Chazal. That's one pshat that I saw. Another pshat that I saw is why don't we make Gzeira L'Gzeira? Because Chazal were concerned that if we're going to make Gzeira L'Gzeira, we're going to end up having an infinite amount of Gzeiras. And that was not a situation Chazal wanted to see. Says the Gemara, Amalei Abaye. So Abaye says, your line of reasoning could be questioned. Bishlami Yeshmin, and if you were to say that Chalitz Chutz Loretz, if you were going to say that Chalitz Chutz Loretz Ba'aretz in Etz Yisrael, Dixel Migzum Shum Chalitz Horz Daraisa. So if I have in Etz Chutz Loretz Chalitz Chutz Loretz, and I also have in it Chalitz Eretz Yisrael, so there we can have a mix up between the Chalitz Chutz Loretz, we could have a mix up between these two types of chalas and loigazrinin, and still we don't make such a gzeira. So from there, ikla mishmine, that we could indeed have a proof that we don't make a gzeira, we don't make a gzeira l'gzeira. But ask the Gemara, ela chutz loretz, but if we're speaking about that we are in chutz loretz, and this chala is in chutz loretz, mishum delekla megzahu, and the reason Chazal didn't make the Gzeira is because there's no reason to make a Gzeira, because what are we trying to protect? What we're trying to protect is that we should not in any way abuse Chalas Etz Yisrael. So when we're in Etz Yisrael, so that's something that we need to be concerned about. But when we're in Chutz Loretz, where it's unlikely to have Chalas Etz Yisrael, says the Gemara, this doesn't make sense to make Gzeira. However, in our Gemara, when we speak about Bas B'Cholav, Ishar Le'Lesuki Oif Gvina, if we're going to let you have meat and milk on the same table, Osa Le'Lesuki Bas Gvina. In other words, what the Gemara is saying is, if we're going to allow poultry to be on the same table as meat, you're going to have meat and real meat and dairy on the same table. And there, if you're going to allow that to happen, bas b'chol daraisa. So what the Gemara really means to say, Rashi explains, is that it's not, if we're not going to put oif and cholof on the same table, it's not a proof that oif is also daraisa together with dairy. It could be that they're all the same. But the reason we're not allowed to do it is because we may come to eat basar oif, real basar, together with gvina, because once we have them all on the same table, people are not going to differentiate, and they're going to think the meat and milk are not a problem. Maskler Rav Sheshes, ask Rav Sheshes, I don't understand why you're so concerned. Soif, Maskler Rav Ashi, soif, tzainin b'tzainin hu. If I have a cold piece of meat and a cold piece of milk or cheese, so there's no bishul there. And as we've been saying throughout our shir, that the issa deraisa is only in a case where it is going to be cooking. And the example that we just gave involves no cooking. Answers the Gemara. Amar Abaya, Zeresh Shamiyal Alfas Rechech. We're concerned that they're going to be put in the same pot, in the same hot pot, and that's how we're going to come to maybe eat the meat and dairy, which are both hot in the same time, through Bishul. So it turns out, says the Ritva, that the Gemara's concern now is not a concern about eating. The Gemara's concern is not because of eating. The Gemara's concern is because of Bishul, that under certain circumstances, we're going to end up in a case where we're cooking meat and dairy together. But ask the Gemara, we know that the Torah, when we speak about Hilchas Bishul, primarily when we speak about it in Shabbos, in Hilchas Shabbos, there's something which is a Kli Rishon, something which is on the pot that's on the fire. But if we pour something out from that pot into another pot, that pot is the Kli Sheni. And the halach is that a Kli Sheni typical is not Mevashel. If that's the case, why, in the case of our Mishnah, and the Ilfis, the Gemara is learning, is something which is a Kli Sheni. So since it's a Kli Sheni, so then what are you worried about, as we just finished saying, that you're going to come to Bishul, in a Kli Sheni, there's no Bishul. The Kli Sheni, ask the Gemara, ain't a Mevashel. So even the concern that you're expressing about cooking together doesn't apply when it's a Kli Sheni. Ella, so the Gemara, Gzer Shemiyafa, but Elfus Rishon. You're right. The concern is not when they're a Kli Sheni. The concern is that when it's a Kli Rishon. Of course, there's a very fundamental discussion that the Paiskim have. When it comes to Hilchos Shabbos, there's a concept of Ein Bishul Acha Bishul. So if I have something which is already cooked, and then I cook it again, Midaraisa, it's not considered an act of Bishul. So what are we concerned that you're going to have the dairy and the meat, but if they're cooked, why are we not concerned that they're going to be cooked again? So there's a big machloikus ha-poiskim. What is the halacha here? Many poiskim, the Chasam Sofer, the Baruch Tam, the Yehuda Yala, are of the opinion that even if you have a cooked piece of meat and you have a cooked piece of dairy, there is an isser if you cook them together again, this or bas b'cholof, even though it's a bishul acha bishul. Others explain that just like by Shabbos won't be considered, but just like by Shabbos, we're not so quick to say that there's bishul acha bishul. By bas b'cholof, we are also not so quick. Here, there's a difference by bas b'cholof as follows. Yes, the halach is ein bishul acha bishul. But they explain, what happens if I have milk that was cooked? And now I have meat that was cooked. So yes, if I were to cook that meat again, it would not be considered bishul, because I already cooked it. Yes, if I were to cook this meat again, it would not be considered an act of bishul, because it was already cooked. However, if we have a situation where the meat was cooked, but it wasn't cooked together with milk, or we have the milk cooked, but it wasn't cooked together with, or vice versa, in these circumstances, the time where I'm putting the basa b'cholof together, now is a situation of, and that's a whole new situation. Now it's the first time I'm cooking basa b'cholof together. The issur is, if I didn't cook basa b'cholof till now together, but if I cook them already, if I just cook them individually, and now I cook them together, that would be a violation of cooking basa b'cholof, because this is the first time I'm cooking these two ingredients together. There are those that differentiate. If when I cook it together, it's mistamik for yofaloi, if it gets better or if it doesn't get better. If it gets better, even though they were already cooked, that would be a violation of basa b'cholof. If it's not mistamik for yofaloi, it's not getting any better, it would not be a violation of basa b'cholof. Says the Mishnah, hoif oilam agvina al shulchan, we could put poultry on the same table with dairy. Ve'ena nechel, but they may not be eaten together. Divrei Beis Shammai. This is the opinion of Beis Shammai. Beis Hillel's opinion is lo'ayla. We can't put them on the same table. Ve'lo'y nechel, certainly they may not be eaten together. To which Rabbi Yossi comments, Om Rabbi Yossi, zu mikul Beis Shammai b'chum Beis Hillel. Normally, throughout Shas, when you have a machloket Beis Shammai Beis Hillel, Beis Shammai typically the machmirim, and Beis Hillel adim a kilim. Here, it's just the opposite. Beis Shammai adim a kilim, and Beis Hillel adim machmirim. And the Mishnayis and Masechta Idris are the ones that mentions these, points out these cases, like where Beis Shammai is the makel and Beis Hillel is the machmir. The Ran explains why, as I said at the beginning of this year, especially trying to understand the opinion of Beis Hillel, why do we find the Chazal is so strict? Because basar, whatever type of meat, is something we're allowed to eat. We're talking about kosher meat. Dairy that we're eating is something that we're always allowed to eat. And therefore, since each food here individually is a food that normally, of course, we may eat, that's why Chazal were so concerned that if we're going to put them, that if they're going to be both on the table, the halacha will be there's a concern that you may come to eat them together. The Rav Kiva Eger quotes the Shailos HaTshuvos Ginas V'Rodim. Under what circumstances can we have meat and dairy at the same table? And he says, by having a heker, by having something unusual on the table, and by having something unusual on the table, that will serve as a way to remind you that you're not allowed to do it, that you're not allowed to eat these two different foods together. The discussion he brings down is that, what about if you don't have anything on the table, but you have a shomer, you have somebody sitting with you, and you ask him, could you watch that I shouldn't come to eat these two foods together? He says that even though the Gemara Masechta Shabbos says that the Gemara teaches us, the beginning of Masechta Shabbos, one is not allowed to sit and read by candlelight. Chazal were concerned Shemiyata on there. You may come to move that candle. But the Gemara says, the Halacha says, you could point to Shomer to remind you. Because there, a Shomer is adequate. But here, a Shomer will not be adequate. And the reason is, given everything we're learning. First of all, people know on Shabbos you're not allowed to touch a candle. So it's much more unlikely that somebody's going to do this. Whereas eating meat and dairy is something that we eat all the time, this meat food, this dairy food. And that's why there's much more of a concern that you may eat them together. He also says that since it takes a split moment just to eat some dairy or a little meat, so even a shomer cannot be considered good enough to watch that you shouldn't come to make the mistake, and you can't have them on the same table under any circumstances. The Lev Arya, however, disagrees. Not only does he disagree, but he suggests that by when Avraham Avinu gave the Malachim to eat the meat and dairy, we spoke about it at the beginning of the shir, if we look in the Pasuk of Yikav Chema V'Chelev Uben HaBakar. He first gave them the dairy and then gave them the meat. And the order in which he gave it to them was very, very deliberate. Because as we're going to learn in our coming shir, the halacha is much stricter by eating meat and then dairy versus eating dairy and then meat. So what happened here was that Avraham Avinu brought dairy, chema, and then he brought the ben habakar, then he brought the meat. So that sort of concern that they're going to eat meat and dairy together, the concern that they're going to eat meat and then dairy was not relevant because the dairy was served first. But now there's still another concern that you're not allowed to have them on the same table. But the pasuk says, the Sefer Lev Aryeh says, V'hu oimer aleihem. Avraham Avinu was the shomer. And now we just discussed that if there's a shomer, the shomer could be the one to make sure that nobody will make this mistake, and therefore there was no problem with what happened there. Says the Gemara, Be'ezer Shulchan Amru, By what type of table was this said? B'shulchan sh'aychalav. And because you're eating and you get preoccupied with your eating, you're going to forget that you're not allowed to eat meat and dairy together. Ava b'shulchan sh'aychalav as a tafshul, a counter where you're setting up the, where you're just setting up the meat, the meal. Ava b'shulchan sh'aychalav a tafshul, noisen zeh b'tzad zeh. They could be put, you could have them all on one counter. And there is no problem. Of course, says the Teres Yisrael, they could be put on the same table, provided that they are not touch each other. As the Rama says, in Siman Tzadik Hei Sivov, Yesh Mechmir Melchatchila, we shouldn't have meat and milk near each other because shem yipol zelaze. They may get poured on one to the other. And that's why the Sefer Yad Avram explains that our Mishnah, which is being lenient about putting them on the same table, is speaking in a case where they are in closed containers. And since they're in closed containers, that's why they can be put on, we don't have to be worried about spillage, and it's not a table that we're sitting on and eating, so that's why that problem is not relevant. Ask the Gemara of Yosef and the Tanakama. Ask the Gemara of Yosef is the same as the Tanakama. What is the Tanakama? What's he trying to say? We'll say that this is what Rabbi Yosef means to say. The Tanakhama is saying that the only machlok of the Shammai Besal is about having them on the same table. Everybody will agree that you can't eat poultry with milk. To which Rabbi Yossi says, even when it comes to eating poultry meat, I'm going to suggest the Shammai is going to say that there is no problem of eating meat and milk poultry together, and Beisil will be machmer. Answers the Gemara, that can't be pshat of the Mishnah. Tanan, Rabbi Yosef Mishish Dvarim, there are six places where we have the Mekula Beishamah and Mechurim Beisil. The Beishamah is the Mekul, and Beisil is the machmer. Zu Achs Mehen, and he identifies what's one of them. Oif Oilam Agvin Al Shulchan, you'll have to have poultry on the same table with dairy. However, Ve'en Nechel Devar Beishamah, they can't be eaten together. And of course may not be eaten together, but they may not even be on the same table. So we can't say that Rabbi Yossi is coming to tell us that we could have eat them poultry together. So Gemara's question come back, what is Rabbi Yossi teaching us in this Mishnah that the Tanakhama didn't already say? It says, the man Tanakhama wants to teach us who is the one that taught us the machloikis of Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, says the Gemara, it's Rabbi Yossi. And what the Mishnah is trying to accomplish is the halacha of Kol Oimer Dovid Shem Omrei, that when you say something, you should say it over in the name of the source, and that's the way, Mevi Gula Loilam Shnema, as the Pasuk says by Esther, that she was the one that reported Tachashverish, B'Shei Mordechai, what happened with Bixav Eserish, and as we know the story of the Megillah, that brought the Yeshua to the world. So the way the Mefarshim explained the Mishnah is beautiful. They explain, the first the Mishnah said the Machlok Beisham Beisil, and not associated with the opinion of any specific Tana. And the reason the Mishnah did that is that the Mishnah wanted to avoid that somebody would say, well, if it's only the opinion of Rabbi Yossi, maybe the Rabbanan don't agree with that. So the Mishnah mentioned it anonymously. After the Mishnah mentioned it anonymously, then we have the issue of Oymer Dovid B'Shem Omrei. And since we have now the issue of Oymer Dovid B'Shem Omrei, the Mishnah went out of its way to tell us who's the one that taught us the halacha. It was Rabbi Yossi. When we talk about the halacha, which we just learned now, the Kol Oymer Dovid B'Shem Omrei, maybe Gula Loilam, the question is, and as many Mefarshim explained, the reason this is such an important issue is because if you don't say B'Shem Omrei, then it's like you're stealing. You're taking away from the person who's the true one that said this halacha. There's many halachas. What would be the halacha if the person who said it says a moichel? You could say it and you don't have to say my name. So one hand, a moichel. On the other hand, it causes a false impression when you say it as if it's your vart, and it's not really your vart. It's then people will attribute something which you don't deserve. Another question is, does this halacha, Oymadav B'Shem Amrei, only apply by halachic teachings, or will it apply also by Agadata? So the Shas HaTshuvas Chelkas Yaakov, Oyre Chaim Simen Memvov, says that L'chatchila, you should do it by Devar Agadata, but it doesn't have the same strict rule as it applies by Dvar Halacha. The other question that comes up is, let's say I'm saying a halacha that I thought of, and I discover that somebody else said that also. Most are of the opinion that if I thought up this halacha originally myself, even though afterwards I heard it say over in somebody else's name, I don't have to say it over in that name. The other question that comes up is, let's say this, as the Gemara often has, it was a series of people that said it. Do you have to mention all the people, or do you only have to mention the person who you heard it from? The Sefer Divrei Yisrael says, what does the Gemara mean that Kol Ayim Adav B'Shem Ayim Mevigula Ayim? If somebody, when he learns Torah, recognizes from where does the Torah come? B'Shem Amrei, that we realize that the Torah comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When somebody realizes that everything comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's when Mevi Gula L'Ola. That's when we come to that recognition that everything comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that at that point we'll have a Gula. I saw that the Scholar Rebbe says that even by something like a tune of music that I heard from somebody else compose, and now I sing, the appropriate thing to do is that you should say over, this is not my composition. I heard this composition. I heard my composition from everyone else. When somebody recognizes that he shouldn't be, because as we're learning, you shouldn't take credit for something that doesn't belong to you, and therefore that halacha applies in any circumstance where you may be taking credit for what you don't deserve. I saw that the Sefer Imri Baruch explains that we remember when HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Aaron and all the other Nasiim to put their sticks and let's see which stick will sprout, and Aaron sprouted, and the pasuk goes out of its way to say that V'yotze Moshe's kol ha-matzav v'fnei Hashem v'kol b'nei Yisrael v'yiru v'yichu ishmateu, that everybody, all the other Nassim, took their sticks. That's not the point that we're trying to show. What we're trying to show is that Aaron's stick was the one that sprouted. So why is the Torah focusing, he asks, that their sticks, they took them back publicly? So he answers that if we look at the halacha that we're learning here, maybe gula l'olam. He says, what is the purpose of that halacha, of that rule? He says, the purpose of that rule is that people should give credit where credit is due. To show modesty, I don't deserve the credit, someone else deserves the credit. And that's why when the Nasim took back their sticks, what they were demonstrating, a tremendous act of modesty. Aaron is the leader, and we are not. And that's when people act in that way, that's when you have Gula La'ilam. Tana Agra Chamuda Rav Abba, Oif Gvina Nechalim Bapikurim. Oif and Gvina can be eaten without anything in between. Says the one who Tana Lava Amala. So he explained, B'loin Atil Shidayim, when you go from cheese to poultry, you don't have to. When you go from poultry to cheese, you don't have to wash your hands. You don't have to rinse your mouth. Rav Yitzchak Bar Eder, Rav Shasha, Ikla Bei Rav Ashi. Says the Gemara, he came to the home of Rav Ashi. Aisle Gavina, they brought him cheese, v'ochal, and he ate it. Aisle Bisra, and they brought him meat, v'ochal, v'loi mashi yodei, and he didn't wash his hands between the cheese and the meat. Amalei, v'tana agra chamudu Rav Ami, oif Gavina nechal Bei Kippurim, that poultry, chick and cheese have that halacha. Doesn't that seem to indicate? Oif Gavina in, only by poultry and cheese, basa gavina loy. So how did you not wash your hand? When is it required that you wash your hand? So he said at night. Why? Because since it's dark and I don't see what's going on, my hands may have piece of cheese and their hand. It's still in the hand. This, when you saw me doing this, was by your mama, was by day. And since it was by day, I'm able to look at my hands. And since I'm able to look at my hand, therefore, I don't have to be worried. If there's any problem, I'll see it. I'll make sure that my hands are complete. The Shulchan Aruch indeed paskens that even though, as we're going to be discussing in our coming shiur, that you could eat poultry or meat after you eat cheese, the halach is that you have to check your hand if there's any residue on the hand. And actually, many Rishonim suggest that the halacha is that even though you don't have to wash your hands if they're clean, especially we eat with silverware, etc., one should l'chatchila, even by day, rinse out his mouth. We're going to be speaking in the coming shiurs, kinuach only accomplished by eating something. It seems that most poskim are of the opinion that if you just rinse your mouth in between, that would be satisfactory.